This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm here with Sadiq Ali, and I'm really blessed to be in your company always. SubhanAllah, because I benefit a great deal from maybe not the wisdom of young people. Maybe people think wisdom is something you reserve for like older people, but your insights and your perspectives, particularly young people who have looked critically at the circumstances that they're living in, and then attempt from their foundation, from their family and their faith, to move forward in a way that's productive and progressive. And so I try to grow and to benefit from that. People talk about every time a teacher teaches, they learn.
Absolutely.
And so as I'm interacting with you, I'm trying to learn as much as I can. You have written this book, Millionaire Manners, particularly at a time when we know that there are many young men who are in a malaise. They have a kind of a delayed maturity. If you look at college enrollment, say at historically black universities and colleges or community colleges, you'll see the majority of students are females. If you look in religious groups, not just mosques, but even in churches, you'll see that the majority of the active young people are women. My issue to you today is, what kind of manners are these? Are these the kind of gentlemanly manners that you know might be able to help young men who think? And we mentioned off camera the problem that the NFL has with domestic violence. There are many young men who think that the idea of manhood is being an athlete.
Dominance.
So you could bust up people, or you could be a rapper and you could shoot up people, or you could go in the military and whatever, you can become a jihadist, right? And you're gonna go and fight, when most of those guys are losers in the regulars. People don't look up to them here, so they wanna become one of these other modern day gladiators. How does Millionaire Manners help with that?
You said a lot, Imam Johari. You said quite a bit just now.
It's your turn now.
I think the very first thing, one of my favorite quotes, never sure, I need to research who this is attributed to, inshallah. But the man with goals, everything helps him. The man with no goals, nothing helps him.
SubhanAllah.
That is the first thought that comes to mind, in the sense that manners and treating people well at a very practical level will get you that closer to your goal. I think that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that comes to mind is the fact that as you talk about attitude and confidence and being in a situation where you believe in yourself that you can achieve greater things than your circumstances, then again, a book like this is exactly for you. Many, many young people, they end up attaching themselves to causes that they might not even fully understand because they don't think they're capable of change or being a change agent
most definitely.
In their own skin.
Most definitely. But how? Give me the nitty-gritty. I'm a young man. I don't have much money. I don't have much education. I don't have a high-power job. Maybe I'm right in the middle. I might be a tech guy. I'm making money, but when I look around the world and I see the suffering of Muslims. I can't, how do I make change, right, and be a man? How do you do that?
It all starts.
How do you approach that?
It all starts with thought process. That's why the book begins with attitude. Mm. That's why I've written this book, to first look at the internal workings of our mind, how we form our beliefs, which turn to thoughts, which turn to actions, which eventually turn into our results, our circumstances in life.
Can you say that again?
Our beliefs turn into our thoughts. Our thoughts turn into our actions. Our actions lead to our results, a.k.a. our circumstances in life.
Right. So a guy who is taking in certain kinds of information that affects his attitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes further. Who do you surround yourself with? I talk a lot about that in the book. As we form new habits, we have to have habits to replace those ones with. Friends are right on the borderline. Sometimes when you replace friends, you don't necessarily have to replace that old friend with a new friend. Sometimes it's addition by subtraction, as they say. So it's a deep concept. But again, first, it starts with our internal workings.
You have better circumstances by dumping some of your liabilities.
Sad but true.
A friend of mine, Tariq Nelson, he said, if you have 9 friends who are broke, guess it's going to be number 10.
It's inevitable. So when you talk about some of those scenarios, some of those situations where our young people, our young men in particular, are looking to, again, attach themselves to causes, groups, etc., that may or may not have their best interests in mind, it is important that, again, we ask ourselves, number one, what are our goals? If I don't have any goals, I had better get some goals. As I get goals, I then will look to change my thought process. And as I change my thought process, the world then opens up to me.
The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, you have the deen, the way of life of your young people. Sometimes, you know, your mother tells you, those boys smoke, don't go with them. You say, well, I don't smoke. He says, yeah, but if you go with them, you're probably going to start smoking. You know, I think sometimes when I was an undergraduate student, one of the things, and your dad, I think, graduated magnum cum laude, I believe.
That sounds about right. Yeah, no, my dad. Right.
Yeah. So in my day, he was the editor of the campus newspaper. He wasn't just a writer. Mm-hmm. He was the editor of the campus newspaper. And I remember that environment saying, don't hang around people who do less than you. Hang around the people who are doing better than you. The student who's getting the better grades, try to join that group, right? If you see the successful people, look at what they do. And we have that, an example of the Prophet, right? Pray as you see me praying, right? If you want to be successful in your prayer, look at how he does it and then do what he did. In this context, sometimes young people have difficulties finding that mentor. I know you talk a little bit about mentoring in here. Can you say a little bit more? Because sometimes the person who's lost doesn't know they lost. Maybe they come from they don't come from the family like yours. They come from a dysfunctional family. What? Tell us about your mentoring scheme and the use of this wonderful book.
Absolutely. I think the first thing to note is that all of our families are dysfunctional at a certain level. I know mine
don't
was.
Raise your hand.
No need. Just silently nod. If you're watching this, just silently nod if your family's a little bit dysfunctional. We'll establish that, but you know, where there's love, there's always an opportunity.
I like that one.
But in terms of mentoring and...
I'm going to keep that. Where there's love, there's an opportunity.
Always an opportunity. But as we talk about, mentoring and surrounding ourselves, that's another one of my favorite sayings, is that you're always the smartest person everywhere you go, then you need to go into a bigger room. Yeah. So in the context of mentoring, I have several pointers and tips and tricks in the book about networking. Networking is one of the key skills. It truly is an art of getting out and meeting new people. So that way, as you subtract some of those friends we just spoke about, now you have a method of, inshallah, potentially replacing some of those. You also have the opportunity to have conversations with those who are wiser. If you doesn't mind me sharing me. But just last week, I had the opportunity to sit with Imam Johari off the camera. And we just had a wonderful conversation. I just enjoyed listening to Nadi. And that's wisdom. And that's the other thing, too, is that this gray hair he has, it did not come alone. It actually did come with some wisdom. But it's important that the youth, that we take the opportunity to go and sit. But again, it starts with getting over the fear of going out and shaking a hand and meeting a new person. That is a fear piece. But we also, again, have to bring it back to our goals. If my goals are to impact and have impact and to change things, then I have to be able to overcome the fear of rejection. I have to be able to overcome the fear of meeting new people, inshallah, on the way to achieving my goals. But I need a goal first.
Well, I'm going to leave it there today, but I do want to say that if you're not mentoring a young person, but you want to, you don't know what to do, this is a great place to start.
Absolutely.
It gives you a guide to social change. In a way that I hope that this book won't only be effective in America, but when we talk about this book in the next edition, it'll be in Arabic and Chinese and other languages so that people can learn about the power. We forget sometimes that when the Prophet ﷺ returned to Mecca after being made a refugee, when he returns to Mecca, at Fatih Mecca, and he says to the people that anyone who doesn't fight us is safe. Mm-hmm. There are some people who wonder, because in the Arabian Peninsula, the standard was you kick somebody out. When they come back, right, they make slaves out of the women, the men, they make concubines out of the women, and the children become their servants. That's how it worked. The Prophet ﷺ comes and says, anyone who doesn't resist and doesn't fight, we're here to make peace on this peninsula, and you will be safe if you stay in your homes. There are people who said, you know what? We always knew he was right. Some people said, can we trust him? They said, he's Al-Amin. He's always been trustworthy. He always had the best manners. He was always better than us. He had millionaire manners then, such that people said, okay, I think that the time for violence and conflict is over, because we can trust his character and his manner. With that, I want to thank you, and again encourage people to go to www.millionaire-manners.com, pick up a copy of this book, because this is not a non-profit stuff. I think it's $17.95. That's probably the best $18 you'll spend. It's a very practical guide, and it's something that you can give to people of any faith, any conviction, as long as they are people of conscience.
Absolutely.
So, Sadiq, thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's been my pleasure.